Welcome to the Schwitzen Doghouse.
Schwitzen!
Schwitzen!
Yes.
Schwitzen. Warren, you know what Schwitzen means?
Sweaty.
Very, very good.
Very good.
Wow, how does someone from West Virginia know what that means?
I'm well-traveled.
You must have learned that in the military, right?
I'm sure I did.
Yeah, I'm sure you did, too.
Among other words?
I'm sure that, yeah, among
yeah,
other words.
Among other words.
That we can't say on the
many
air.
Of them, yes.
It's been just hot as hell. Just seemed like one of the hottest days I remember yesterday. I think it's like 100 degrees out there now, but the humidity is not quite so high.
According to the car, it was 101 yeah. when I pulled into the parking lot.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
I thought mine read 98.
I think mine read 100 when I came
mine
in.
Mine could be off. It's still in mountain weather.
That's true.
You know, it's about 10 degrees cooler where I live.
I believe it.
But it still was so hot, I actually went floating in a lake on rafts yesterday. On tubes or whatever. I mean, that's how hot it was.
Yeah. Well, that's nice that you could
do
that.
Did you leave a ring around the lake?
I pretty much did. People were like, be careful of the snakes. I was like, they ain't coming near me. Trust me on this.
I mean, it's nice that you can do that. I didn't really have any way to get out of the heat this weekend.
You should have came on out. I actually have more rafts at my house than I have friends.
I can believe that.
That's interesting to know.
Yeah.
You got four?
I got two. Come on. I think I have 10.
I would like to say I was doing honey dues this weekend, but I don't think that was the case.
It was 90 yesterday.
Was it wife dues?
No.
Is it a honey?
No, it was definitely not honey dues. So.
Yeah, yesterday it was
because
3 o'clock.
That would involve the middle finger, I think, actually. So.
98 degrees and 98% humidity doesn't allow you to do much of anything outside.
You can't really do anything. There's no way to stay cool when you're outside other than, you know, being underwater. That's pretty much the only way.
Well, yeah. My niece has a picture of me in the tube, so.
Oh, really?
We'll put that up when she sends it to me.
Wow.
Because it was like a kid-sized tube.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty much like sitting in it straight up and down. It was way underwater.
That's not something that's the kind of picture you want us posting.
I don't know. We'll have to see what it looks like.
Wow. You're a brave man.
I am brave.
I don't let people post a picture of me without a shirt on, so I can't.
No, I had a shirt on.
Oh, okay.
This might be one of those things that Zuckerberg will ban us.
Okay.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's all
yeah,
right.
Yeah, what's worse than pornography? I don't know.
Filmography?
Fat chick pornography?
I don't know. I don't know. But it's something beyond pornography, I think. It's like what do they say when it's a disturbing picture, right?
Yeah, inconceivable.
Something you can't right. unsee.
You can't unsee. That's right. Brainwashing won't clear your mind.
Yeah, no.
But I didn't do anything interesting, and I know the 98 degrees with 98% humidity. Warren wasn't out riding.
No, it was it was too bad to ride.
Yeah, you can't even ride naked. It's not even
you
naked.
You know, I actually have a riding story, and it doesn't involve me.
Okay.
My folks are down I've been down for a month. And yesterday morning, I took my father to dialysis, and on the way back to pick him up, two days ago? I don't remember. One of the days. Every day is a blur to me right now. I have a 550 square foot house, and I've had 7 house guests for a month now. So,
yeah,
I
can't imagine what that was
so,
like.
So, I'm driving down the road heading back towards where his dialysis is, and there's this old guy leaning over a BMW throwing up a motorcycle, maybe a 1200,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I'm coming up on it. He's on the side of my road, and I live in the mountain areas, nice riding roads,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes, you do.
So I pulled over, you know. I pulled over because here's a biker on the side of the road throwing up, right? And I looked at him. You could tell he had, like, he was having, like, early stages of, like, heat stroke.
Right, yeah, I could see that.
You know, I'm like, you want me to call an ambulance? And he's like, no. And I'm like, I probably should. And I gave him some water, you know, and got him over to school. But he was this adventure biker, I guess, is the best way to say it. So he had on that dark, heavy Kevlar, whatever that stuff is made mm-hmm. out of. I don't mm-hmm. even know what it's made out of.
Yeah.
But it was an all-black suit.
Wow.
You know, and, like, it was hot to touch.
I'll bet.
If it's 100 degrees, people, you know, use your brain.
They actually make hot weather protection, you know.
Yeah,
you got a whole class of guys, though, that won't wear anything, all the gear all the time. Super old gear all the time guys.
Yeah.
They only wear mesh clothing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Even though you can get the Cordoba, right. you know, super
it's
high abrasion resistance.
Listen, right. We all love riding. Be careful. You know,
especially in this heat.
In this heat, I mean, that guy, you know, I stopped, I gave him with the three bottles of water I had.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, you need to drink these. And I offered, I said, I'll put your bike on the truck and take you wherever. You know?
Right. Because and he wanted to tough it out.
I'll take you back to my house because you got cabin. A pretty mouth.
You sure do got a pretty mouth. But I felt genuinely bad for the guy. He wouldn't have fit in my house. There's just too many people in my house. Yeah. But I generally felt bad for the guy.
Yeah, I mean,
and he didn't want any help. And I'm like, dude, this is not the time to be.
No, you need to
tough
get
old coot.
Yeah, you need to get out of the heat. And there are places he could have gone just to get out of the heat
right.
for a little while and bring his core temperature down.
Yeah, you know, I told him, I said, the river's only like 60 feet through the woods. Run out there.
He probably wasn't that far from a fast food place. He could have gone in just to sit there and get out of the heat and drink a cold drink. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, a couple miles.
Yeah, I mean, a couple miles. I mean,
you know.
That's what you need to do when you get when that happens. You
I'm
need,
sure there's
you need
a Harley dealership nearby over there. He could have went to.
Not
well, as long as he doesn't follow his GPS, he'd die before he found the place.
If he followed his GPS, he'd never make it. But
that's what you need to do.
You know, and I felt bad. I mean, mm-hmm. I was, but he didn't want to take help, and I didn't want to. Like I thought about just cracking him in the head and throwing him in the back of the truck, and I was like, you know, because I don't want the guy to die on the side of the road.
Cracking him in the head might have finished the job.
You know, maybe.
Yeah. Right.
Do I want?
And then you wouldn't be here today, probably.
I never know what this is.
Okay.
Come on, you know I don't suggest that if there's witnesses around. All right. But anyways, old
yeah,
life
but that's a, but that's a good. That's actually a good. That's a good message, Phil. I'm glad you brought that up because
the whole country's in a heat wave right now.
Right. Well, when it gets most of the
majority,
country, except
majority.
For where Phil lives. But I mean, when it gets to the point that you're throwing up. It's gotten dangerous. It's
right.
gotten dangerous. You need to get out of the heat.
Yeah, it's almost too late at that point.
Like he argued with me a little bit about taking off his jacket.
Really?
And I was like, I will cut it off you while you're wearing it.
You know what?
I'm not opposed
but
to being
a jerk. But you
know what,
Phil? You can't if somebody can't, wants to be stupid, the minute you drive away.
That's what I was going to say. So. You can't fix stupid.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So when it gets to be like that, you need to get out of the heat. You need to bring your core temperature down. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, but that's a good message because we still got plenty of hot weather coming up.
Yes, we do.
Over the next couple months. So make sure you act responsible and take care of yourself when you're out in these temperatures.
Yeah.
You know, God knows. God knows that I won't do that.
But no, I won't.
You should.
Actually, I was being facetious. I would definitely do it. I don't like the heat to begin with. When it's that hot, I'm like you. I'm not going to ride when it's that hot like that. So. If you're really hardcore, you got to take care of yourself. All right.
Yeah.
We go to break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about how the internal combustion gods are angry at me now.
And they should be.
They should be.
They're very, very angry at me because of what I did a couple weeks ago, and they struck back this week. So if you want to hear that story, stick around.
Good for them.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Doghouse on ntnradio.com. Make sure you check out the Doghouse page on ntnradio.com. That's where we post a lot of pictures of things that we talk about during the show. If you haven't been there, you're picking us up on a podcatcher somewhere, something like that. Make sure you go to ntnradio.com. Just there's a menu item up there. Just pick shows, and we're under recreation. And we're the only recreation show because we're the only ones that recreate. So make sure you check that out. Also,
guys, I
have an apology to make. To the thousands of people that wanted to contribute to our Patreon campaign but couldn't because the link that was on the – and nobody told me about this. The link that was on in our post did not –
Was a bad link?
It was a bad link. It did not work.
You've caused us billions.
I have fixed that.
We could have – yes, we could have been fully efficient.
yes.
Fully paid up now.
Yeah, we could be, but we aren't. So we'll see. Now that it's been working, the donations have been rolling in. Just rolling in. So we'll see how that works out. So,
and what's that address?
That is Patreon. Well, if you want to go directly to our Patreon campaign, you go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/NTN, where you can become a supporter of the Doghouse. And for those people that do support us, and you know who you are,
you can be a supporter of the arts.
Yeah. I don't know that I would call this art, but you could be a supporter of the Doghouse by going there. That is
Patreon. I will draw on the walls with poop. I got this.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. So check that out. We would appreciate it. And if nothing else, at least go to the website and check out the page. So a couple weeks ago, when Phil was dealing with personal matters in there and wasn't here, I did a story, and Warren and me differed on that. And in the story, I offered my surrender to the electric motorcycle god.
Yes, I heard that. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, well, you know, it just gotten to the point where it's built up and they're not going away. And the technology's getting better, and it's like, it's almost easier to do technology, if you think about it.
And I swear I told him he's not right.
He said I'm wrong, and we'll see. We will revisit this story in a year or 2 years or 5 years, whatever.
20.
Or if we're alive. And we will see. as much as I hated to do that. But I did, just because
I was actually kind of glad I wasn't here for that.
Would you disagree with me?
I don't know if I can.
Okay, that's the problem. It's very hard to, because
I gave you cogent arguments that both of you would be wrong.
You did, but it's like most of your cogent arguments, they don't mean
it
much.
Wasn't in English.
That's right. But the thing about, you have to look at history, and the history was that the first electric motorcycle was introduced like 6 years ago. And there's many, many more manufacturers of electric motorcycles now, and even Harley's going to be making an electric motorcycle.
You're getting, you know, the big names are coming into it, but I think there is actually fewer electric motorcycle companies now than there were a few years ago.
That doesn't matter, because now the big names are in it. Yes. When Harley, when Victory, when
Yamaha,
when these big names get into it, that's when the trend goes.
Right, right.
You know, all these little prototypes, all these little this, that, and the other thing, whatever. I remember, 6-7 years ago now, being at VIR, seeing that TTX GP, you know, or EGP or whatever it was.
Still haven't seen one in the wild.
You know, that's true. But then again, I'm not 100% sure I haven't come across one. You know, because, be totally honest with you, most of the electric bikes out there, I would probably look right past, because they look a lot like dirt bikes. But there are some, there are a lot more of them that are sport bike-ish nowadays. And some of them, with the fairing and everything, don't look that different than a regular sport bike. Now, I mean, do you take a close look at every sport bike that comes by? I don't.
I look at all the bikes that go by, and I listen, you know, I ride with my windows down. If I'm riding a bike, I don't want, you know.
If you're riding a bike, it's different.
If you don't hear it, it might be electric.
Yeah, I guess that's a possibility, but I don't, because I see
or BMW.
I see so many sport bikes that I can't tell you that I really pay much attention to them. I see far more sport bikes than I do cruisers, especially on the road 50-50. Behind my house. Oh, I see way more sport bikes. But anyway, so
what did you do? What happened?
Regardless, but apparently after I did that story, the internal combustion gods were very angry.
And they should be.
And they may have a right to do that. And they demonstrated that anger by burning a Zero Motorcycle Police Edition in China to the ground as it was recharging. The unexplained incident, though.
So it shall be written.
I know the cause, has resulted in 50 electric motorcycles from the Ngang Ta Kok Bang Ding Ao Police Force. To be pulled from daily operation. Two bikes were damaged in the blaze that broke out at a police station early Friday. Now, I know my story was behind it because it was the first time a U.S.-made Zero SZF-9, which I spoke about in the story, has ever burst into flame, at least since the fleet went into operation in Hong Kong 2 years ago.
It's like me walking into a church.
It's too much of a coincidence.
It's like, well, boosh.
It's too much of a coincidence. So the two bikes were being charged at the police station's car park when they heard a voice complaining, "Thou shalt not forsake the oil for the volt," and one of them burst into flames.
Yeah.
I rest my case.
I did not know god was a combustion motor guy.
Well, I'm talking about the internal combustion gods.
Yeah,
I assume the electric bikes have their own gods, although they're a lot newer. So they probably are
they're probably not as powerful.
They're probably Justin Bieber fans, you know.
Wow.
Police say the fire spread to the other motorcycle and then to a police van. Now, I love this part of the story. Firemen fought the blaze with a hose because we all know how well water goes with electricity, right?
Yes, it does.
But they did manage, to douse the flames. No one was injured, but both bikes were a total loss. Initial investigation showed a short circuit was the cause, but of course, listeners of this show know different. The Hong Kong dealer who sold the units to the department is investigating, but we know if he's not a Doghouse listener, he's pretty much wasting his time. The other 50 motorcycles they have are now sidelined, and they pretty much need them because apparently Chinese police don't like flames between their legs.
Good God.
Yeah. That's...
Well, I mean, especially when you have a little teeny pee-pee. You know, you don't want flames.
All right, there goes our last listener in Hong Kong.
That's right. Of course, initial investigation all showed that the motorcycle that triggered the blaze has been functioning normally, and it was just the nicest motorcycle. You know? You never would have
expected
that.
You know, I saw a picture of it when it was 12. It was blasted all over the media.
Yeah.
And it said something like, kickstands down, don't spray water. And its arms.
There you go. So, I mean, it actually surprised me because haven't there been like a bunch of Priuses that have burst into flames?
The Fisker. The Fisker.
Is the Fisker burst into flames?
It's the Fisker that's been bursting into flames.
Didn't a Tesla burst into flames too?
I know one of their guidance, their autopilots drove it into the side of a tractor trailer truck because it couldn't see it.
Okay.
A 53 feet long, 13.5 feet high,
yeah,
you know, 20 ton or whatever.
But I haven't come across another story of...
the first motorcycle I've heard burning like that.
Other than
at Americade.
Well, you know, here's the thing.
You know,
yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
More than a few get burnt there.
But you would expect that. But, you know, all these electric bikes are powered by lithium-ion cells. And you remember a few years back when a lot of laptops were bursting into flames?
Well, not only those, but their lithium batteries are also in those... I can't recall what they call it. You know, the little motorized skateboard type things.
Yeah, yeah.
They recalled all of them because of the bad batteries causing fires.
Yeah, the hoverboards.
Hoverboards, yes.
Yeah, the hoverboards.
They don't really hover, but
I know that, you know, the thing about it is I wonder why we haven't seen more of that, because there have been a lot of stories in the news over the year of lithium-ion batteries. If they're overcharged, they have a tendency to overheat.
Yeah.
I mean, my phone will sometimes get really hot.
Yeah,
I don't know about
mine
yours.
Does. Yeah.
And I've been waiting for that to burst into flames when it's in my pocket.
I know.
So there's a lot of people.
Cop-related story.
Yeah, yeah, right.
A cop in my old hometown before I moved down here had one of those early lithium-ion batteries flashlights.
Uh-huh.
Left it on, and it actually caught her coat on fire while she was wearing it.
Oof.
Yeah. You know, like in her police coat.
Another reason the electric bikes aren't going to catch on.
Yeah, because God knows internal combustion bikes never catch on fire, right?
Right. All you need somebody smoking and to throw a cigarette in the road and it just follows the oil trail to a Harley. <That's>, it's like a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Yeah, so, I haven't seen a story like this before.
That's the first one I've heard of.
And the coincidence that this happens just after I've done
that's
this
not
story,
coincidence.
That's not coincidence.
I think you're right. You have to go out there and sacrifice some electronics.
I think we're headed into a rash of...
You're going to need to bring your tablet, your phone,
calculator.
And your calculator up to my house, and we'll burn it in a vat of oil.
Just as a sacrifice.
Just as a sacrifice. Make the world right again,
okay,
Ken.
Okay, I'll get right on that. Anyway, okay, so it's been a while since I did. Do we have enough time? Do we have enough time to do a story? It's kind of long.
You know, I have a short story.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and do a short story?
It was something I found this morning, even though it was dated a few days ago. I just happened to come across it. And the title of the story I saw in the Morning Call, which is a Pennsylvania newspaper. It says, motorcycle lost in 1977 Johnston flood, found during PennDOT, which is the Pennsylvania DOT, excavation work. So on July 20th, 1977, so only,
29 years ago.
40 years ago.
You said 79. 77, and
it's 16.
39
years ago.
39 years ago. Isn't that what I said?
I thought you said 29.
I might have said 29. I
think you said 9.
On July 20th, 1977, John Vitale was trying to make sure his family was safe from the rising floodwaters around his house on the west end of Johnstown, which they have the big rally there.
Yes.
So we're all kind of familiar with Johnstown.
Mm-hmm.
There was so much rain and lightning, you could have read a newspaper by it, says that old guy. He's in his 70s now. And he said it kept coming down, and eventually the water got so high it took his shed away, and it had the family's motorcycles and mini bikes, including Vitaly's Yamaha 200.
Well, I can't remember how many people died in the Johnstown flood, but it was a lot,
and most of them were killed, I think, by mudslides that came through the downtown area.
So it was one of the worst natural disasters in this area.
It is, and actually, if you go up to Johnstown, if you go up there, you can actually see where they have the markers that show how deep the water got.
Yes, I remember checking that out. I've only been there once, but I remember checking that out.
Yeah.
He said he saw the shed start rocking, and then it disintegrated, and poof, it was gone. Everything there was washed away. So on the 21st, at about 10:30, which was this past Thursday, 39 years and one day to the date of the flood. Workers with the Everett-based Colts asphalt maintenance found the Yamaha buried under where they were digging, doing excavation for the St. Clair Run Box Culvert Project. I have no idea what that is because I'm not from the area.
Sounds like some sort of flood control project.
Right. I would say it's some kind of flood control. So they said below about 5 feet of ground underneath a concrete channel that I guess they put in over since, they were digging up and they found this bike. They pulled it out. The funny thing is the guy Vitale lives across the street from the local PennDOT field office. So they walked across the street, knocked on his door and said, "Hey, did you lose a bike?" I guess they ran the VIN and the plate number.
Sure.
And he's like, "Yeah." So he walked across and saw it was walked down to the site and looked and said, "Yeah, that was his bike.
Here, let me kick it over and see if it starts."
Yeah, right. I would have tried. So the people from the PennDOT, they're going to dig it up and put it in the office there on display, kind of thing. Said it was the coolest thing they found. They always hear these stories from around how somebody finds this bike here and there.
Or Jimmy Hoffa,
right? You know,
a lot of other stuff in there too. If that's where that bike ended up,
yeah. You know? I mean, that's kind of interesting, you know. And he's like, he said he took some pictures of it, but he has no desire to want it back. I don't really blame him.
Well, and he might have collected the insurance on it, which he doesn't get it back, right?
He probably did. I hope he did.
Insurance company should be claiming it.
They could. I'm sure they don't want it either after it's been underground for 39 years.
PennDOT wants it because it's like, hey, look what we found.
Although it's probably pretty well preserved because it wouldn't have been exposed to oxygen and stuff buried underneath concrete. So
you would think. Yeah. I don't know. There were no pictures in the story.
Which means it didn't happen.
Okay, I didn't realize Warren was so cynical today.
Yeah, apparently.
But I thought that was kind of cool that the guy was still living like pretty much on the same street, and it was just down the end of the road.
That's probably not uncommon in that part of Pennsylvania, though,
yeah,
right?
Which means he also didn't really look for it after it was gone.
Yeah, I don't know that I would either, though. I mean, after a flood came through, it had 16 feet of water came through. I don't know that I'd look for anything at that point. The likelihood you're going to find it.
And if you did find it, it was probably not worth anything.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, I just thought that was kind of a cool story.
It is kind of a cool story. I always think it's neat when somebody comes across a bike that's been long lost, although that's usually a barn find rather than a culvert find. But
And it's not like oh, it's a rare bike. I mean, yeah.
Did they find his wife?
I guess he kept them safe.
She was with the bike.
Yeah, she was tied to it.
Much better story.
So grabbing the handlebars with her strapped on leather straps. No, that's not true at all. That's just our indulging.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. When we come back, I'm going to do a feel-good story. So stick around. You're going to feel good.
He's going to feel good.
All right, folks, welcome back. Now, it's been a while since I did a feel-good story about motorcyclists, but early in the days of the doghouse, for those of you who've been with us since the... Actually, back to our extraterrestrial days.
Yes, we were extraterrestrial.
When we were extraterrestrial. I always tried to do stories that put motorcyclists in a positive light, because we get so much negative press.
Yes.
So I did a lot of stories back then, but I haven't done one.
Bums of Anarchy came along and made us at all positive for
right.
us.
Yeah, moved us up a couple notches.
But I think it is time to remind folks that motorcyclists are the most selfless and generous people on the planet, except for Warren, because he needs cash for Chrome.
hey,
that would be a great ride. Cash for Chrome ride.
And this story comes out of Wallace, Nebraska, which has a population of 357 people. And on Saturday, which was just yesterday, the village population grew by more than 130 motorcycles that lined up in a man's yard. He must have a pretty good-sized yard. And then they continued all the way around his home and then up and down the adjacent street. Just after 10 a.m. yesterday morning, Nebraska time, motorcyclists, their spouses, and families thundered out of the town of Wallace, rolling out, for the 11th annual Mikey Ride Poker Run. They headed out on the cause, traveling about 240 miles to seven towns where they purchased poker hands at various stops. Later, the public was invited back to Wallace for a dinner and a live auction, and the proceeds from the day benefit Charlie Stevens, which is a three-year-old Nebraska girl, North Platte, Nebraska girl, who's been battling acute lymphoblastic leukemia since last September. And one thing that's cool about this is that every year this poker run benefits somebody different every year. It's not like for one charity.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. They pick somebody different every year. They're generally, but not always, children. And Mike Maupin, which is why it's called Mikey's Ride, is the originator and host, and he maps out the course and tries it out personally each year to make sure there aren't any issues, you know, with construction or things of that nature or bad road conditions. And in this little tiny town of Wallace, this was kind of like rolling thunder for them.
Yeah, I imagine. So. That's half their population.
Well, actually, the number of bikes exceeded the number of homes in the town.
that's actually really cool.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. This is the type of charitable activity that motorcyclists participate in all over the country.
All the time.
And often all around the world. On nearly every weekend, there's some sort of charitable event involving motorcyclists. So I wanted to put that out and remind people that, you know, people think of us kind of as hooligans or, you know, scofflaws and outlaws, and we're portrayed in the media often as being lawbreakers. And the fact is that, and there was a study that actually came out that I did, and Phil, you might remember this, about 4 years ago, where if you look at all the different organizations in the world, that the number one charitable group in the world was actually motorcyclists.
That's yes, not surprising that. At all yeah. to me. Yeah.
But a lot of people don't realize that. So I came across that story. I said, you know, I haven't done this in a long time. I'm going to do that. I just thought it was really, really cool that they were doing it for a different person every year and a different cause. Because a lot of these are, you know, one particular cause they do their event every year for. And this was kind of cool. They pick somebody based on need every year. And
that one's, a little bit unique. I hadn't heard of that type before.
Right.
There's dozens of St. Jude and muscular dystrophy and MS rides, et cetera, et cetera.
And they're all good causes and everything. I just thought this was kind of unique because I hadn't heard of one before where they pick a different person rather than a charity to help every year.
On a continuing basis. I've seen where they've done, you know, a ride for someone, you know, in need.
Yeah. Or something, you know, right. Like I've seen remembrance rides for people that have lost their life for their family to help their families out. Mm-hmm. And I've seen rides for somebody. I remember a ride for somebody that didn't have the money and needed to have a kidney transplant. But this is like an ongoing every year they pick somebody different, and they've been doing it for 11 years. So that was kind of cool. Okay. This is actually kind of a short story. But I actually think it's going to generate a fair amount of comments from my comrades. Yes, my comrades.
Ah.
It's a story of constant...
Yes, my socialist brother.
Yes, my socialist brother. Da. It's actually a story of concept vehicles, and I love concept vehicles.
So do I.
Yeah,
I nerd out for them.
I absolutely love them because they kind of stretch the limits of design and functionality, and sometimes they actually, in some form or other... they end up as a production vehicle, or as in the case of the Harley Livewire, the Motus, just a fairy tale, right?
Well, I know, you know, we're going to get a Harley of some type.
But not a Livewire.
Not a Livewire.
Not a Livewire. Not a Livewire. So today's concept vehicle.
I was going to say, we should put a pool up. Take money on what we'll see first, Motus or Livewire.
we should actually schedule some sort of a charity event where there's a single prize. Everybody pays an entrance fee to be involved in there, and the first person to actually come back with a picture of themselves standing next to a Motus motorcycle wins $1,000.
Out on the street, not the one at the barber fridge. I mean,
not the one
at the
not a museum, on the street.
Yes, on
the street, and guaranteed we won't have to pay off. We'll make a lot of money for charity.
Yes, we will.
So anyway, so today's concept vehicle I was mentioning comes from BMW, which has actually a pretty respectable record of actually producing many of their concept platforms, and this one is going to be very controversial. But I could actually see this one coming to the market, but it would only be for like Gen Yers. Gen Y.
Yes.
Okay.
Generation Y.
Generation Yers. And if you see a picture of it, which you can find in this week's post, which is why I mentioned going to the website, in this week's post, you'll get your first look at the BMW Titan motorcycle concept. And it's kind of a Batmobile like design.
Well, it's already been done then.
No, it's kind of a Batmobile-like design. I didn't say it was the Batmobile. I just said that's what it looks like. It also looks like the design is like part shark and part stealth fighter. So check out this week's post. It's kind of neat. The angles certainly point to like a stealth fighter look, and there's an air intake on it that appears like a pair of gills.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture now. It doesn't even look like it has a front wheel.
It does,
though. It's completely enclosed.
It's completely enclosed in fairing. And there is a seat. And yes, there are handlebars. You just have to find them. There are handlebars in the picture.
I'm looking for handlebars.
There are handlebars.
And, yeah, I'm seeing it now.
Yeah, yep, there are handlebars.
So you basically are going to ride this.
You're on top of it.
It's on like top a, of it. It's you're like leaning forward.
You're leaning forward.
With your feet almost extended completely behind you.
Pretty far back. Yeah, it definitely is a kind of a prone position, which is why I say it would only work for Gen Y people.
Yeah, somebody that still has the rubbery backs.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but that's like every sport bike to me. Like, I probably pass.
Now, this is quite bigger reach.
Yeah, I mean, if you're using rear sets, that's true. But a lot of sport bikes actually have mid controls, and then people add rear sets.
You know, it's the tank in my belly that don't agree on sport bikes.
It's... Well, I mean, it gives you a place to rest it, Phil. So.
No, it kind of flops off to the side. If it's hot out, my belly button sticks like a suction cup.
Yeah, you're definitely a cruiser guy.
I'm just trying to picture that, Phil.
That's why I don't ride shirtless, all right?
Okay. Well, I understand. All right. So anyway, now, guys, what do you think? Do you think this is the future of motorcycles? Do you see the picture, Phil?
I'm working on pulling it up.
Okay. No.
You
yes, I am
so.
Working on pulling it up.
That's right, Warren.
You mean no?
No, this is not the future of bikes unless, I mean, because unless it's got something like an air shock in the front that raises it up about 5 inches.
It does look very close to the ground. Yeah, but that
you're
just,
not going to cost it even the smallest.
But you got to realize this is a prototype. It's not going to come production exactly like this. You're right. There's no way because you would be hitting the thing
if
off the ground.
If that transformed into a robot suit,
it would be cool.
I would be all in. I would have one tomorrow.
Yeah. I think it's cool.
I would go steal one like War Machine did Captain America.
Yeah. I think
it's
cool
definitely
looking,
cool looking.
And I don't think I could ride it. But
I'm not sure very many people could.
But I tell you
ride
what,
it.
If you were like dressed all in black, which you shouldn't do because of the heat, folks, right now, people.
Right.
But if you were dressed all in black and you rode that thing, it would be a cool appearance. You'd have to admit.
Here's what I would say looking at that.
Yeah.
Future land speed record Bonneville. Material.
It does look like it would be very aerodynamic because of the way it's completely fared
because
in front of you.
Because you're sitting on it. There's nowhere for you to have a fairing that you're going to be slipstreaming behind. You're going to be right up there in the air.
The way they displayed it, there's no fairing on it. I mean, there's no windscreen. There's no windscreen, but your legs are far enough back that I don't know that fairing would have made that much difference from an aerodynamic standpoint.
Yeah.
But it is cool, and if you don't know what we're talking about, that means you didn't go to the post on ntnradio.com and check it out. But it is cool. If you're not going to do that, if you're just too damn lazy to go there, I guess you could always just Google and take a look at a picture of it.
No, you can't. It's not on Google.
Oh, it's not. So you
No, I don't know. I'm making that up, Ken, to get into the
Then you shouldn't have denied it. You should have said, yes, it's not on Google, Phil.
I don't want people to think I'm a liar, allegedly.
Even allegedly. But it would be very aerodynamic from the standpoint that the front wheel is completely encased. And that is a big drag on a, especially.
And it looks like it has
If you look at Bonneville speeders.
Yeah, they're right.
They all have the front tire encased.
World's best is Indian, man. Well,
yeah, they all have it encased.
And usually the rear wheel as well.
Sometimes, but a lot of them, the ones that have the rocket sled ones, will have fenders on the rear wheels and just the front wheel will be inside the canopy, you know, inside there.
I mean, it looks something straight out of sci-fi. So we all know I'm all for it,
right?
Because I'm a nerd into sci-fi.
Right, right. It'll show up in the next show up in the next Terminator movie,
well, or Avengers movie with Scarlett Johansson, and BMW will take advantage of that, unlike what Harley did.
Right.
I'm gonna.
So she'll ride nude, is what you're saying?
Oh my God. We should start hashtagging that.
You know, he started asking when we had the Harley guy on that, and he wanted to buy the seat that she sat on the live wire.
That's true. Yes.
Hey, and nobody accused Phil of being high class ever.
No,
ever.
Well, I'm going to hijack you here just for a second, sure. Since we're talking about prototype bikes, and you know, this really doesn't have that much to do with it.
So jump right in now.
I saw Star Trek Beyond this weekend.
Oh, you did?
Yes, and they have a big motorcycle scene in it.
Yeah,
and you can't really tell what kind of bike it really is because it was just completely mashed up with a lot of different pieces and parts on it.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, so they had a really good motorcycle scene in Star Trek Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Give them kudos for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a trailer for the before the movie started, remember when we talked about Robbie Madison riding on water?
Yes.
He's doing it in the big screen in the new XXX movie with Vin Diesel.
Really?
They showed the scenes, you can see him riding on the waves.
Hmm.
I'm assuming it's supposed to be Vin Diesel doing it, but
Vin Diesel's a midget and has no talent.
So Rob,
I'm sorry.
Right. So
is that a personal vendetta?
Yeah, it sounds like.
Not only did he get $40 million from Red Bull, he's also going to get probably another $20 from the movie.
If it does well, I'm sure he's getting points from it. So who knows how much he'll write?
Yeah, that just means his next stunt will be $100 million.
That's probably true.
God bless him.
So, all right, I'm a trivia hound. And one of my favorites is when we come across a story about, really iconic motorcycles. And one of the most iconic pictures in the motorcycling world is the picture of Steve McQueen jumping the motorcycle over the barbed wire fence in the finale of the 1963 movie, The Great Escape.
Maybe the greatest motorcycle scene of all time.
That's right. And that's what people believe. And just so if you haven't seen it, you need to see it. It's a great movie. It actually, there's a picture, and I've seen it in museums of him actually going over the thing. And in the final scene, the main character, which is played by Steve McQueen, he escapes from a German concentration camp in World War II by jumping a motorcycle over a fence, and it's often referred to as, quote, the jump. And it kind of sealed McQueen's view in the public as a motorcyclist, even though he had been running hair scrambles back into the 50s. The general public hadn't put Steve McQueen and motorcycles together.
He'd been a car guy in all the movies.
That's right, exactly.
Hey,
and the stunt itself provided a really cool black and white picture. That's what the iconic picture is.
Yeah,
that's what was on the movie poster, too.
Right, exactly. But though virtually everybody in the world thought that it was the star of the movie, Steve McQueen, who, because he was such an accomplished rider himself and known for doing his own stunts, did the jump in the finale, was actually a guy by the name of Bud Eakins.
Yeah. It's
the stunt double. And although McQueen did all the other riding and stunts in the movie, the producer insisted that McQueen was too valuable to the film to risk getting injured. Though he'd done all the other stunts.
Could you imagine the amount of panties that came off walking around telling the world at that time?
Yeah.
I'm the guy that has to do when the stunt's too big for Steve McQueen. I'm the guy that does that. I mean, that's like bottled panty remover.
Yeah, so for that one scene in there, they hired Eakins, and Eakins did the jump in a single take and was paid $1,000, which was the highest ever paid for just one stunt at the time. And did it in
one
take.
And he earned it.
Yeah.
It was a great stunt.
It was a great stunt for the time. Not only was Eakins disguised to look like McQueen, but the bike in the final scene was actually quite different than what it appeared.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, the motorcycle McQueen was riding right up until the jump was a DKW RT250. But what you see Eakins jumping over the fence is actually a Triumph TR6 Trophy 650. Both McQueen and Eakins are in the Motorcycle Hall of Fame in part because of the jump, but also for their riding and their pretty storied careers. So I knew this, and I had come across this story many, many years ago that it wasn't Steve McQueen. The vast majority of the public actually thinks it is McQueen, and poor Bud Eakins didn't get much credit for that. But Steve McQueen would have done it. He wanted to do that.
Oh,
jump.
I have no doubt that he would have done it.
And the producer just said, uh-uh, that ain't happening.
If you, yeah, because you imagine if he landed in the barbed wire.
Yeah.
That was a lot of barbed wire that he jumped over.
Yeah, that would have been bad. But he had done some pretty amazing stunts I had seen in other movies. In Bullet, he did all the driving stunts.
Yeah.
He's
better known as a driver.
Yes.
Four wheels than he is too.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So anyway, that was a little bit of trivia that I wanted to pass out to our listeners. And what we're going to do is maybe not. We'll see.
There you go. Hey, look at that.
He's working on it. I was too fast for him. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, do you have any more news, Phil?
No.
Let's talk a little bit of racing. We actually had some interesting motocross this weekend.
Yeah, I want to talk 250s because of what happened in number two.
Yeah, definitely.
We need to talk about that.
Yeah, we definitely need to talk about that. There was some angry riding, I would say.
Yes, yeah. It was some road rage. Dirt rage.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that and whatever else we feel like talking about.
Well, I got to give a shout out when we get back to somebody from my hometown.
Okay.
And I'm sure it was in the news, but I believe, and I'm not really 100% sure, I believe the guy's father was a teacher in my school district when I was a kid.
Okay. All right. So. Well, that and who knows what else when we get back. Stick around, folks.
Welcome back to the Doghouse here on ntnradio.com. I mentioned before the breaks I wanted to give a shout out to a hometown person of mine, graduated the same high school as I did probably a billion years later. But I don't know if you caught the news, what happened in New York City last week about a two cops sitting in the squad car, and a guy rode up next to him and threw a package in and said it's a bomb, and they took off and rushed it away from where there were people.
And that was your friend?
It wasn't a friend. It was a kid from my hometown, Peter Cebulski. And I believe his father was a teacher when I was in school.
So I'm thinking he's going to be taken care of by the state for a while.
Probably not. He was a New York City cop. Even the state don't like them.
Yeah. What I meant by taking care of, that he was going to actually be a resident of the state penal system.
Right.
Throwing a package into a cop car and saying it's a bomb, isn't that a crime?
Yeah.
His friend is a cop.
The guy from my hometown was the cop.
Oh, your friend? Okay. Oh, he was the cop. I thought your friend from the hometown threw the
bomb.
He's
not my friend. He's just somebody from my hometown.
Okay, your best friend from your town threw a bomb into a cop car. Is that what you're saying?
And ran away.
And said, this is from Phil.
Their return address was somewhere near Front Royal, Virginia.
Do I not speak English?
Do you not understand the words that
come out of my mouth?
Phil, generally not.
Let's try this again. Mm-hmm. Officer Peter Cebulski is from my hometown.
Why did he throw a bomb into the cop car?
Especially since he was already in it.
There were no donuts.
I don't know.
So anyways, him and the other officer in the car, they rushed it out of the populated area. They were in Times Square patrolling.
And then changed their shorts, no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. No doubt those shorts are ruined.
So they drove it away from Times Square.
And they drove it off to like an abandoned area in another place, and then put the car in like the middle of a parking lot away from buildings and people, mm-hmm. then got out and ran to call the bomb squad.
And it turns out it was dead.
It turns out it was like some fireworks and a clock and a blinking light all taped together. They arrested the guy who did it.
Oh, they got him.
He's going to have a not so fun time in jail.
Okay.
Or at least he's having a not so fun time on the ride to jail.
Yeah, right.
Right. Oh, maybe when he gets in jail, he might be a hero. But until he gets there, he's probably not having a good day. Yeah. But I just thought that was kind of, you know, like I read the story and I saw the last name and I said, man, that's an interesting last name. There was a guy who was a teacher in my school.
Hmm.
I think it was like a fifth grade teacher.
So the person that threw the package in the car wanted to be arrested because it was pretty much, I mean, they're Times Square. There are cameras everywhere in Times
Square.
Yeah,
oh, they caught the guy. It was like some 52-year-old guy, Hispanic guy.
Hmm.
So the biggest takeaway I got from this story is that
there's a decent person from my hometown.
No, Phil said Phil graduated high school.
That too.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
There's no proof.
He claims they have graduated from high school.
But yeah. I just thought it was kind of cool that, you know, somebody from my town acted selflessly.
Because you
met the rest of us. You met the rest of us. You would have thought that dude would have chucked it out the window, took off and left it and been like, screw them people.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad. Now, I wonder if it was working. You said there were fireworks in a clock. I wonder if it worked.
There was like a flashing light and stuff. The police department, the bomb squad said they didn't think it wasn't explosive. It was just
it was more
a prop to kind of look like a bomb.
Yeah.
But they're probably going to bang that guy for the same charges as a bomb.
I imagine so.
You know,
I imagine so. I think it's in a federal crime to make a terrorist threat.
I believe so.
Yep. Goodbye.
So have a knife with life. He'll never hear the doghouse. So
that's right because we're not allowed because we rile up the prison.
We're not allowed in prison anymore.
Yeah.
Anyways, speaking of prison,
uh-huh.
What the hell happened in 250 Moto 2?
Well, it was
like a slobber knocker in the turn.
I rewound it and watched it again. I'm not sure who started that.
It looked like Savacci kind of rode Webb funny.
I thought
he did. He in the turn before, and he about Webb ran him off the track.
I have said many a times in my mind, and maybe even on the air, that guy should have just stopped in the track and screwed everybody up.
Yeah.
Webb did.
He did.
I guess Cooper Webb listens to the doghouse.
He did.
Because he's like, I'm going to take being a jerk from
to the
Phil.
Next level. I'm taking it to the next level.
You know, I went back and, like I said, I looked at it again, and I'm still not totally convinced that Webb intended to do what he did.
It looked to me like, based on past history, there
was a guy in front of him, and it looked to me like he stopped short of the guy that was in front of him, and then everybody piled up at that point.
That's
what it looked like to me.
It looked like to me, Savacci's there, I'm going to brake check him.
That's exactly what
it was. The problem was is, you know, further into the race where the two of them are 15 seconds ahead of everybody,
yeah.
That's just, I get even with you.
Right.
What was it, turn four or five?
Yeah,
it was first lap.
Yep.
Everybody's still there, and when those two stopped, everybody stopped, the whole field gets up and leaves, and there's Jeremy Martin just sitting on the ground with his bike laying next to him, and nobody even came over to help him pick up the bike for like an hour.
Yeah, well, if they determine that Cooper Webb did that, he's going to get penalized.
Is he?
Yeah, well, he will get penalized. I haven't read anything.
No,
I haven't either.
He'll take a couple
of
days.
If they decide it wasn't just a racing incident, he'll get penalized.
Yeah, I don't think I think it was definitely not a racing incident. Because there were guys in front of him.
There was a guy right in front of him.
But it wasn't far. That guy, the guy was so far enough away.
I don't even know who it was. I couldn't catch who it was.
But it doesn't matter. He was so far enough away that there was still no reason to brake like that.
I said he stopped short. Now, maybe he was over aggressive braking and
it was a brake check. And
well, if it was, then he's going to get penalized. And they're going to take points away.
Obviously, he's going to say something like, you know, I don't know what happened. And the guy in front of me was so close, he hit my brake lever.
My brake
lever. Savacci kicked the brake, you know, the rear brake on my bike. You know, because you get in them tight groups.
Clearly, no love lost between Savacci and Webb.
None.
None at all.
And now I got to imagine there's probably, I mean, it looked like a scene from Chips.
Yes, it did.
The accident starts, and then some guy randomly like rode up on the dirt and jumped into it, like
Yep.
You know, and I think I saw an old Civic roll. You know, and I was like ba 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 ba. Anyways, I gotta imagine Webber now has like 15 to 20 new enemies.
Oh yeah. Except for Alex Martin. I think Alex Martin
and Austin Faulkner.
Faulkner.
Yeah. Faulkner was like, he was so far behind, he had time to steer around behind it.
Yeah. Come out in first place.
I don't know if that's true. I just thought that was funny.
Now, he was near he was right there at the front of the big pack. So he saw it, he went wide.
And so was Alex Martin. Jeremy Martin had got a bad start, and that's why he was got caught in the middle of that.
So those two guys were near the front and were able to get around quickly. No one else did.
That was just a mess. That was like road rage, like doghouse style.
Okay, well, I'm just telling you that if the AMA determines that it was intentional.
We should say that we're doing the show on Sunday so that if they announce penalties on Monday or Tuesday, people don't think we're idiots.
Right, yeah. We're recording on Sunday.
We're recording
on Sunday.
We don't
normally do that.
Yeah, due to work conflicts, we had no choice.
Right, we had to do it early this week. That's but at least we didn't do it before the race. We should do it sometime. We should do the show before the race and just make up what happened.
I totally want to do that. We should do that as a best of show, you know, to like put in the can for something. Yeah, I totally will do that. Yeah. Be like, we'll call the race. We'll be like, so-and-so's outside. You know, people like, what the hell's going on? That'd be awesome. But yeah, so the 250s was just, you know, your defending champ had a miserable weekend. Alex Martin, his brother, he took the overall with the 1-2.
First time ever, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, his first overall.
Yep. Cooper Webb got a 3-6. Savatchi got a 2-11. So, I mean, they did come back. Cooper Webb did a hell of a job racing back through the field after he stopped everybody.
Hey, after the big mashup, I think he was 22nd or 23rd.
Yeah, he was back there.
And he came right through.
He was back there. But, you know, the person that he screwed the most wasn't Savatchi. The person he screwed the most was Jeremy Martin.
Well, you know, sometimes you just have to randomly screw people.
Well, it is a happy, if you think about it, it is actually a happy happenstance because that's the guy he's got to be targeting for the championship.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
So it was just a big old pile of bikes and stuff.
You guys notice how much more we're mentioning Alex Martin's name this year than we have in past years? Like, never, you know? Alex Martin's actually
doing fairly well.
For Alex Martin, he's doing exceptionally well. So you kind of expect to say his, you know, Jeremy's name all the time.
And I gotta give Faulkner a some big props because he got up in front and didn't back off. Kind of shaky there for a couple of laps, and then he straightened up and went on.
We've kind of been sleeping on him because he's like currently fifth in points.
Yeah, we mentioned
ahead of Osborne and Plessinger and some guys we've talked about.
Yeah, I think while you were
we had a good conversation
about him.
Yeah. He's definitely kind of come out of nowhere and been a presence.
And like imagine after he hits puberty.
I know.
You know, I mean, after he's like old enough to reach the pedals, maybe put on some Old Spice.
Right.
You know, I mean, he might turn into a man and be a racer. Yeah. If he's listening, that's
the 250s
were
definitely the more interesting races this weekend.
They were. Yeah. 450s.
Yeah, 450s weren't very interesting. Roczen was dominant in race one.
Yeah.
And in race two was a great battle between him and Tomac.
But I don't think he really tried.
You don't think so?
I think he said, a second's the points I need.
Yeah.
You know, I think.
Well, he does. Right now, Roczen can finish in the top five and win the championship.
Right. And I think that's his attitude.
Yeah.
It's not worth getting up there and mixing with Tomac and pushing it and wrecking.
He raced hard in race one. He definitely raced hard.
It was another one of those weekends where you think he's riding a bigger bike than everybody else.
Yeah.
He was just running right by everyone.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough. I think it's got to be really tough for Tomac, who had a rough start of the season, and you start really putting things together, and you got this guy who's been so dominant, which I'm sure they've all felt with Dungey like that in the past. But that's definitely, you know, it's Roczen's championship to lose. So.
Yeah. At this point.
And he's going to have a hard time losing it. He'd have to try to lose it at this point. So, anyway.
Or get injured.
He's like
55 points up?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's over two full motos.
Right, it's over two full motos. And there's
six left, and right?
Yeah. Six motos. I think six left, and he scores good points every week. So you can't catch him.
Yeah.
Right? So.
And Marvin Musquin has been doing better the last couple
really,
weeks.
Really good. Got two-thirds, right?
Yeah.
This week, and he's like, must be feeling better because he's had several good weeks now.
Yep. Yeah, and it's good to see him being a little competitive, especially without Dungy there.
Especially without Dungy there. KTM needs
Pike,
that.
I was kind of surprised how well Weston Pike did this week.
Yeah, he didn't beat anybody.
He's all over the place, right? So. And he didn't like hurt anybody and stuff like that this week.
Or himself.
And I will give a shout out to Barcia, not because I thought he had a great weekend, but he did finish 10-4.
Oh, did you?
Anytime you finish
10-4. Did you see the way he's shaving his beard now? Did you notice that? He's doing the Abraham Lincoln thing.
I pay no attention.
I've given up on his beard. What he should do instead of wasting time shaving his beard is maybe put in some time in the gym or training.
Yeah, he does.
So that he can race the last 15 minutes of the race as fast as he did the first 15 minutes.
And
I'm sure I'm not the only person saying it. If he's got a problem, he can call in and defend it. He can call me fat. I don't care. But at least I admit it.
And we should also mention that Bubba Stewart's back, although nobody knows it.
Well, so. He also didn't finish a second time. The second moto, he didn't finish because of blisters.
He got further along this time than in the second race.
He couldn't finish because of blisters.
I mean, had it not been for the big pile up.
Pussy! I mean, excuse me.
You know, you may be careful because his brother will beat the hell out of you.
Well, I haven't seen his brother do much recently. Have you?
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yep.
Is he even racing?
Yes, he races in the 250s. He might be injured now, but we haven't mentioned his name.
I have to look at the 250 list because I don't remember seeing him in months.
Oh yes, in months. But he may be injured. But Malcolm Stewart races in the 250s.
I'm guessing he's injured.
He won a race, I believe, earlier this season because we made a big deal. In fact, it was
that was Supercross. Yeah. I haven't seen him in motocross.
Oh, I think you have.
I don't think I have.
I think you have.
No, I haven't.
He was racing when his brother went out. So, anyway.
Well, Phil's checking on it. Well, Phil's checking on it.
You can check on it.
So, what was your big takeaway for the weekend?
That Roczen's on cruise control.
Yeah. My big takeaway is that maybe there's going to be a lot of 250 guys moving up. Maybe the sponsors aren't happy because they keep talking about all these guys unsigned. I think silly season's going to be kind of insane.
It might be interesting,
but there's a limited number of seats available.
Yeah, but the way they were speaking, the majority don't have rides next year.
Don't have anything locked up.
Well, that may be true. That may be true. But I'm saying in the 450s, there's a limited number of seats available. You're not going to be able to move up more than four at the most.
Well,
that's it.
When they were speaking, it sure sounded like there's going to be more than that.
Well, the thing about it is then you have to take the seats away from people, which means
that's kind of what I'm thinking.
That's the impression I got.
Well, yeah, but the problem is you're not going to have a hard time moving guys up out of their 250 ride that is competitive to a non-competitive 450 ride. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, but there's guys out there.
there's guys out there on competitive rides.
Okay, listen.
Well, you could argue that, but the thing about it is
I'm going to get Epic hate for this because he's sitting fourth in points.
Yeah.
But if I was the team owner of Barcia's team, I'd be considering it.
Well, you have to because he's not consistent.
Right.
The guy gets some hole shots. But
and that's not a bad bike.
Race. No, it's not a bad bike.
That's not a bad bike.
No, it's not a bad bike.
Trey Canard still has a
Yamaha,
ride.
Right?
Trey Canard still has
a ride. I would think about hiring somebody else just to save his life.
That's actually a good point. And what about Bubba Stewart?
Bubba Stewart needs to be replaced.
You don't want blisters.
Blisters lead to bad track time.
That's right, yeah. He won't be able to care for
him. I don't even see Malcolm in the points listings anywhere.
Okay. Well, maybe he hasn't scored any points.
If he hasn't scored any points, he's just like
his I don't think he was. I don't think he was racing motocross this year.
But he does. I don't know why he wouldn't be unless he's injured.
Maybe he was injured.
Maybe. All right, folks. That's it for this week. Make sure you check back.
We should probably pay attention to that, huh?
We probably should. All right. We'll be back next week.